Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be a messenger. Thank you because we speak your word, you do the rest. Thank you because I pray now that in the name of Jesus, as we hear your word, the saints are changed in their minds. They are renewed. They put on the new man as it relates to the topic in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray that this will be a start of something new in the lives of the saints in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I start off at 12:03, but I'm happy to close early. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm already very happy. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are getting to a new teaching that we are titling Liberality. And we are looking really at what God has done in you. The grace of God. What God has done in you. But like I say, for Christians, we don't know ourselves until we look at the Lord. So let's go with a popular scripture to start today, John 3:16. We are looking at liberality. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who does God love? The world. What is the first thing you see that God did as a proof of his love for the world? It's in verse 16. You can't miss it. He gave. Come on, write it down. He loved the world, then he gave. The point would be there is something very clear about love. There is something very clear about God. If God, 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. The Bible then says, for God so loved the world, he gave. So lovers are givers. You can give without being a lover. But you cannot be a lover without being a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. How did God give? It's there. For he gave his only begotten son. So not only is he a giver, God is a sacrificial giver. Can we get a believing amen? Can we get a believing amen? That he gave his only begotten son. So the first point we see about God is that God loves the world. So God is love. The second point we see here is that God, who is love, the proof of that love is that he gave. Two. The third point we see is that the love of God, which is the giving of God, is sacrificial in nature. Can we get a believing amen? Amen. And the fourth thing, you will soon see the fourth thing in that same John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Love is doing what love is doing, not for his sake, but for the sake of the other. Do you see that there? Whosoever believes, it is that person that will not perish. So God gave himself that man will not perish. Is God going to perish? No. Did God need dying? No. Why does God die? Jesus. Why does he come into the world and die? He comes into the world because of you. Amen. So love, the fourth point would be that love would be other people minded. I'll say it again. And the reason why we say know about God is that when you know about God, you know yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God. My point is, as you know the Lord, you start to know yourself. So I'm sure you must have put God is a lover. in your note. I hope you are later, because we'll get there. But if you don't want us to get there, before we get there, you can also put, Victoria is a lover. Victoria, God is a giver. Victoria is a giver. That's the point. God sacrifices. Victoria sacrifices. Mm-hmm. God is thinking about others. Victoria is thinking about others. That is the way to understand what he's saying. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5. Look at 48, Matthew 5, 48, before we go back to 44. The intent is, I see God, so I then know how to do. Look at, be ye therefore, 5, 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So you have to be clear. That's why I always teach, do not read a verse out of its context. If you read this verse out of its context, you will say, God is looking for perfection from me. That's not what this verse is saying. You would understand perfect if you go back to verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Come on, are you hearing again? Love your enemies. For God so loved the world. Love your enemies. I know, I've never been in a place when they say love your enemies. We say, yes, pastor, preach on. This is the word for me. Amen. Love your enemies. Is that in your Bible? Church, is that in your Bible? Look at verse 43. This is the one people like. They won't agree to it, but this is the one they like. Look at verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your... People prefer that one. Yeah. Hey, my enemy. What do you mean by that? I should love my enemy. Right? Amen. He says, no, this is not the way to go. It tells you that. Because he says that this is, verse 43 is earthly. How many people realize that? How many people have said this thing before? I am going to that lady's party because when it was my birthday, she came for my party. That's it. People are like that. People, but that is not you. I can't turn up for your birthday. You turn up for mine. It's normal. What makes us different is our ability to do that, which is different from this world. Meaning that the man is looking not based on what the other person did. That is why it's a supernatural life. It's an endless life. And you are tapping into the life that came with the resurrection. There is actually a life that you have received. I'm getting ahead of myself. So it says, 43 is not your way. It's the normal way. I'm sure when you hear that it's normal, hate your enemy, you say yes. My enemy, and people spend time on their enemy. Say, let's pray that the will of God will come to pass and that God, the kingdom of God will spread. Father, we thank you. The kingdom of God. Now let's hold our enemy. Stand straight. Look forward. Say my enemy. You never hear anybody say, my enemy. No. My enemy. Why? Because that's the way we're raised. We're raised like that. But we are even saying this is the lower life. This is the life of babies. Any enemy-centered person is a child. There's a higher life. And that is why it is the life that you have received in the resurrection. Brother, something happened to you when he came out of the grave. You must acknowledge it as so. There is a low life and you can stay being a... You know that... It's you. You can stay taking, is it Cerelac, all your life? You can, baby food. What? Give me an example of baby food. SMA Go. We are we surprised? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you can stay there. You can even convince us it's sweet. It has vitamin B2, vitamin D. But you are taking Cerelac and all of that. That's small. For people like Dickie, no. For people like Dickie Tosi, he needs a proper amen. They say we're an international church, so that Dickie doesn't call me. I'll still say it. We need pounded yam. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So there is a lower life. It exists. We are not saying it doesn't exist. We are not playing blind. It exists. But come up hither. Are you hearing? Come up here. Come up here. Come up to the God, the class of the God kind of mankind. So there is a God kind of mankind. He is called the new creation. That man has received the Spirit. So now look at it. Look at verse 44. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Let's continue. Do good unto them that hate you. Are you saying that this is antithetical of what we might have heard when we were growing up? And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute them. Let me tell you something. People are always quick to say, you know what? If someone is disturbing in your life, block them. This one. Yeah. As long as you are blockfully praying for them. Because you want to block. But he says, pray for them. It is you they are despitefully using. You are praying for them. Sister, it's not easy. It is Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not willpower. I shall. Has someone taken your money and run away?
Yes.
Has someone tried to swindle you at work and told you? Have you seen what happened to Joseph in the house of Pharaoh or Potiphar? That's the level we're talking about. Someone comes and says, you tried to rape me. This is your nappy. Oh, sorry. This is your clothes. This is your clothes here. You're trying to rape me. He said, I didn't touch you. I don't want to touching me. And the Bible then says, you are to say to Potiphar's wife, you will know better. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for you that you will see better. You know, like I'm telling you, it's not easy. You might have to pray, you might have to cry through it. In the name of Jesus. But that's your life. You know what? When you start getting used to your life and practicing your life becomes normal for you. Don't go back lower. Stay with your life. Don't say, pastor, this pastor is a sweet talker. You realize that all these people that say pastor is a sweet talker, they never make progress. Behaviorally. They just say, when we're teaching, we're saying, you lay your hands on cancer, it goes. Say, bola. All those people never see miracles. They never do. They say, oh, someone had a short leg. It's now long. They never see anything. As long as they told you it's in the Word of God, you've got the Spirit to produce it. He says, so it's not easy. The hardest place to do it is in marriage. I can imagine being married to me. I don't understand how that happens, but it happens. Look at that. He says, bless them that persecute you. Look at this. The persecution. People talk bad at you. They persecuted you because I know when I heard said liberality, people think we're coming to talk about money. It might be maybe week three we get there. But whatever, let's continue. He says, despitefully use you and persecute you. So this is not, you know, when Jesus is talking about persecution, he's talking of a rich heritage of people like where we they bearded somebody at the altar before. Oh, say I'm born again. The intent of the message is to help you understand that this can only be achieved by the Holy Ghost. Hold your hands in Matthew and see Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. So you have to stay conscious of who you have received. Amen. Not conscious of what people have done to you. Conscious of who you are. Look at Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God. Something, brother, you must acknowledge it as so, even if you don't feel it. Something has happened to you. You don't feel, I mean, people, as you are listening to me now, you are feeling like someone is like, you know the way they spray perfume? Or they spray, that you feel any spraying in your heart that is like love. You are just there. The Holy Ghost is just doing, you're just hearing, it's spreading. This thing is spread. It was in my head before it's moving. It's in my knee. You know, oh, darling. No, it's by faith. You will not feel anything. But glory to God, the word of God is true. He said the word that was spoken to us was spoken to them. The same word did not profit them. Having not been mixed with faith. So the man that hears that the love of God is shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost says, yes, it is true. Yes, it is true. It is true. You shout down your mind that is telling you, it's true. You know, you shouted on your wife yesterday. You say, glory to God, it is shedding. Holy Ghost is walking here. You silence your mind. That's what you do with God's words. That's how Jesus did it. Jesus, they said, Jesus, come, let me tell you the truth between me and you. you are hungry. You are what? You are hungry. That's the devil. You know. I don't think the devil is a gentleman. So I don't just think he just came to Jesus and said, "Hello, excuse, J boy, sister, no, no." But like, bro, you've been on there for 40 days, and God left you here for 40 days. Only you. Okay, and a few lions that come here and there to say hi. No food, nothing. Are you the son of God? Okay, forget it. Don't forget me. If you are the son of God, just turn this stone to bread. It's not for me now. Look at you now. You're already losing. When you're not in the gym, you're losing weight to J.E.S. Amen. And Jesus will say, "It is written." Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is written. That's what he said. So when your experience is opposite of the word, don't embrace your experience. Embrace what the word says about you. Even when I just acted wrongly, I would say, "It is written. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I get better." Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Look at it again in Romans 5 verse 5. "Hope maketh not ashamed, because there is a reason why. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart." Tell your neighbor, "It is there." Say, "You're a believer." Tell him, "You're a believer." It's there. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by who? By the Holy Ghost. So the man that says he has no love is accusing the Holy Ghost of being a bad staff of God. That the Holy Ghost is incompetent. You know the one that they'll put in charge of maybe light or clock at the borough, but he's sleeping. So they need to change the clock now. The clock is still telling us that it is 12:19. The clock is still showing 1:19. It's not changed it. He's sleeping. He's incompetent. But the Holy Ghost is not like that. So you are more, the word of God is more real to you than your feelings. Amen. That's how you interact with God's word. God gives his word to you. You interact with it. God's word in your life, as it were, for the new creation, is not automatic in his experience. It is that you mix it with faith. So you must know, they said, "The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, giving me the ability to pray for the one that persecuted me." You say, "I don't feel it." No sharing, but I believe it. I believe it. Praise God. I believe it because I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Because you need, see, the person you need to talk to the most is not somebody outside. You know, your doctor is not your problem. There's a ball in your leg. There is no ball there. There is no ball. Your doctor is not the problem. The person that needs to be spoken to the most is you. If you shall say to the mountain, "Bro, his brother is looking at a mountain up there." He doesn't know that the mountain is here. The mountain is, you are rejoicing with them in the Holy Ghost. "You better come here. Your life is not like theirs." Oh, that's the mountain. That is the mountain. When nobody is here, it all looks leveled. You just leave, pam, you just come outside. You say, I was waiting for you. Now that you have finished all that drama, right, can we now get to it? You have anger problem. Just own it. Own it. Own it. You are choleric. Own it. Own it. Come on. You know us. We know ourselves. Own it, bro. You are choleric. You are melancholic. Somebody just said hi. You are investigating the hi. You are saying, why did he say hi to me like that? Is it because of the way I dressed? He said, own it, own it, own it, own it. That's where you should say, "The love of God is shared abroad in my heart. I'm not choleric. I'm born of the Spirit." That's not when you start saying, "Hey, well, you see, I've been doing this for a while now. Maybe, no. That's the mountain. That's the mountain there. If you shall say to this mountain, 'Be removed,' and no, glory to God. The love of God is here. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. Emperipazio, the Holy Ghost is walking around in me. In me, I'm not like everyone. It's not a proud statement, it's a fact. I'm a new creation. I am born of God. I am of God. I'm a priest of God. Our confession that we do here is not to pass time, it's to tell you what to say. Amen. Because the word is always speaking. Amen. And your mind is not loyal to you. Your mind is loyal to what you expose it to. Praise God. Let's go back to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 44. As we start to conclude. See how Sister Victoria did not even look up. Hey! They are used to me. All right, look at verse 45. Matthew 5, 45. That ye shall be the children of your Father in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans. The publicans are unbelievers. They do the same. That's what he's saying. And if you salute them, yeah, he says, be ye perfect, even as your Father is perfect. What will perfection be there? Love. Amen. So love as you see your Father love. So what is there an action to do? The action in Matthew 5:44. Look at Daddy. What Daddy is doing, do. Amen. You know, I've said it so far, it's looking interesting that God is love. God is a giver. God is a sacrificer. God is thinking about other people. Amen. Amen. And the point is, other people that he's thinking about don't have to be good to him. Amen. Church, amen. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The scandal of the Bible, the scandal of the person of God. Amen. Look at Romans 5, 8. Let's look at 7. Okay, for scarcely for a righteous man or a good man, one will die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Look at verse 8. But, so God is in another class. You see, they put the but there. Meaning, people have the, so there is something called tit for tat, the life of in this world. So they are even saying when someone does good, there's a tendency that someone around will do good to them. It now says, but God. So God is in a class by himself. Then guess what? By the resurrection, he brings you into that class. Amen. Amen. But God commended his love. The word in your own version might be demonstrated his love. So God is a lover. The proof of his love is what he has done, not what he would do. It's just that based on the fact that he has done something like die for you, you stay a bold man that he cares for you in your day to day. Amen. So the resurrection is the faith statement of the believer. I'll say it again. The resurrection is the faith statement of the believer. The resurrection is the only proof the believer has that God is for him. That's what Romans 8:31 will say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 now say, he that spared not his son and offered him for us all, how shall he not with him freely? Meaning the faith statement of the believer is the resurrection. So the more I put my eyes on Jesus, the more I have the currency to live the life now. He has said he will never leave me nor forsake me. How do I know? He did not leave me in sin. That's how the believer reckons. He will heal me. How does he know? He healed me of my greatest sin, spiritual, or my greatest sickness, spiritual sickness, and gave me eternal life. Hallelujah. He will never leave me or forget. He came to me, became like me, took on a body like me. He did all he could do on all he should do to ensure that I can be saved. Bro, to doubt such a God, haba. Faithful, them. Someone died for you. You are still saying, willy, willy. They say, cast your cares. You are casting your cares. They are collecting it back. You are casting your cares. God, do this. We share. We are thankful you will do it. God, remember me, O Lord, when you are passing by the street of Agege. Don't talk like that. God is not passing by anywhere and left you there. Don't talk like that. When you are in the area, when God does something, maybe he's in the area. No, listen, God loves you. He cares for you. Cast your cares on him and trust him. The reason you cast your cares on him is because of the resurrection. The resurrection is the proof, not because he did something for your neighbor. If it is that kind of even kind of statement, if he did something for your neighbor, he can choose not to do for you. Amen. If you want to go in that direction, your neighbor, are you your neighbor? Amen. He does for your neighbor, he didn't do for you. Beat him up. Yeah. Because we must say it well. That's how people get angry. Hey, look at that one. What does she know? What did she do? Because we have put everything outside the resurrection. The resurrection is God's reason why. Hallelujah. That's where unhealthy competition comes around. Amen. People can't share testimony in peace again. Because the saints are now going to be looking and saying, okay. Oh. No, the resurrection is the reason why. He is our life. He has given us the eternal life. He has shown his love for us. That's the point. He will not show. He has shown. You are the one that is walking around now saying, have you heard of me? God died for me. When the world are saying something's going to happen, say, me, I'm different to me. That's all died for you. I'm not like you. You don't run about like them. Anxiety is a slap on the face of Jesus. It's a slap. That's why it's a sin. What's wrong? And I'm not saying you cannot be anxious. You are going to do what the word of God says. Remind yourself. That's why we stay in prayer. Remind yourself of who you are. You are the person that God died for. You are not everybody. What's going to happen? No, it's a scatter. You are shouting, it's a scatter. Have you heard? Have you not heard? It doesn't matter. God is with you. Is that not the story? I'm supposed to teach. I'm already. Is that not the story of Joseph? You know, you are so big about enemy, neighbor, others. They lied on Joseph. This is first thing first. The message there is not our daddy should not have favorites. Mr. What's his name? Jacob. Is it Jacob? He had favorites. Good luck to him. Amen. Praise God. Only God knows what he saw. Well, at the end of the day, Joseph is his favorite. It is what it is. Move on. Praise God. It might not be easy on other people that are not the favorite. You have been favorite too before. Hey, God. If you are favorite in a church, it's an issue. You know, favorite with disciples, you know. Any small thing, like Brother Dyer would do before it used to be like, wow, Brother Dyer. After a while, he would soon say, like, Brother Dyer, Brother Dyer. Even me too, I'm not still trying to live up to it. Say, we are sacrificing. You say, Brother Dyer. There was a day they said we should sacrifice our phone. My mother just came back from the UK. She told me, this phone is your eternal life. You lose it. Don't come back home. Then the man of God said, like Brother Dyer, we are about to sacrifice now. That phone, I cannot forget. It's not even 3310, it's 3210. Hey, I just said this was going to happen. I'm going to give this phone. I'm not going to go back home. Okay, let's go back. Amen. I gave the phone. You know, when I gave the phone, you think maybe I had a sickness. After that, I started to squint my eyes. So I'm not on your level. This seed took something from me. Romans 5:8. For God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet, see, this is the point. While we were yet sinners, he did what? He died for us. This is the scandal of the world. This is what makes God in another class. In the class of humans, he would die for good people. The class of God is that he commended his love. So humanity can never say God does not love anyone because he died for everyone. There was nobody that was good when he died. Praise God. You know, praise God. You know, first project, God's first project denied him. Have you not thought about it? And you don't know God's first project. According to the Bible, God's first project, because many people read many, many things. According to the Bible, God's first project is Adam. Imagine you are a manufacturer. You've called everybody. I have been working on a project. This project can speak. You've done it. It's a robot. They called everybody. The day to unveil. Oh, yeah? Robot speak. That's how robot started dancing. Ah. Robot speak. Robot did not speak. Failed. God's first project. Dadam. But you know what? Since the day, or even, you know, the goodness of God, before Adam will mess up, God already made a provision for sorting out the mess up and left it to man to agree to the resolution of the mess up in which he messed up. The love of God. Huh, I know this thing is sounding sweet. By the time we turn it on you. All right, look at it again, verse 8. But God commended his love towards us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God, first, for the word. The love of God is giving. The love of God is sacrificial. The love of God is the other person minded. The love of God is not based on what the other person does. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. My brother and sisters, if you know this, you would take dating and relationship seriously. Ha. Selah. Praise God. You do what? You will take it seriously. You ask questions. Because who you... You know what love is? Don't let me go in there. It's not marriage counseling. Yeah. But God commended his love that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The many things I want to say, but I want to say, okay, let's continue. Let's go on. Let's move on. Now we've known the love of God. I have shown you in Romans 5:5 that love was put in you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. That love was put in you. That thing called love that was put in you is also called spirit. So the spirit of God is the ability to love. Praise the Lord. The spirit of God is the ability of God in you to love. That's what Ephesians will call the blessing. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed. We speak well of God. We praise God. Ephesians 1 verse 3, we praise God. That's the word blessed. We praise God. We speak well of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. The blessing is with all spiritual blessings. So blessings of the Spirit. How many? All. Spiritual blessings in heavenly. Where is the blessing? In Christ. So anyone in Christ has these spiritual blessings. Praise God. The Bible then tells us, what is that spiritual blessing? Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom you also trusted. In fact, let's look at verse 4. Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells you that God, according as he has chosen us. Someone say chosen us. Say, I like this. Yeah, I didn't plan it, but say I'm chosen. Okay, according as he has chosen us, where? In him. When were you chosen? Church, is God reactive or is God someone that is proactive? Before the first project failed, God has said, you can't put me to shame. I made you. And makes up. Look at it. Before the foundation of the world, he has set it that we will be set apart without blame before him in love. How are we set apart without blame? The object of his love. Who are you? You are what? Set apart. Without blame. Before him. In love. Look at it again. Verse 5. Having predestinate. How many people know the meaning of predestinate? Predestiny. Pre is before. Meaning God's plan was to make you a child. He says predestinated us unto adoption of children through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the way through which men become sons, children of God. It's not because you begged him. It's in verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will. Based on this grace, he has made you what? Accepted where? In the beloved. That word is highly favored in his sight. God sees you, so to speak, as he sees Jesus Christ. It's the word, like I always say, charito. That's how God, all these things we're explaining is called the blessing. The Spirit. Verse 7 will tell you, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood. I am trying to say to you clearly that the man that is born again, something has happened to this man. He's God's man. Look at it. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. God has done a work. He calls it the new man. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, look at it, 2 verse 10. It tells you, you are God's workmanship. Are you in verse 10? Ephesians 2 10. We are God's workmanship. We are what? We are what? Created. Are you there? I'm in Ephesians 2 verse 10. We are what? God's what? Now that word workmanship is the word poema. You can say poem, masterpiece. So it's just, let me say it this way. Masterpiece is the word used in such a way for a sculptor or an artist who has many art collections. Then he has one that is the pristine, that is the height of his production, so to speak. Are you getting it? What's the name of that man that did that painting? That's very popular. Mona Lisa. He must have painted many others. Huh? Is it Mona Lisa? Michelangelo painted Mona Lisa. Is that it? Uh-huh. If it's wrong later, when you Google it, it's not biblical. It's an example. Amen. So the guy Michelangelo must have painted many things. Do you know why you don't know it? Do you know Gunegona? You don't know it because it's not popular. It's not his masterpiece. Do you know Falapi? You don't know it because it's not his master. Do you know Kolokai? You don't know it because it's not his master. But do you know Mona Lisa? You know it because his master is the one that shows off the glory of this guy. The Bible says, Jesus, God, when he's saying that, you want to know who I am. Don't look at the sun. Don't look at the moon. Don't look at the stars. Don't look at the water coming together in that particular place. Don't look at all those places. Just look at the new man. I have given him, reproduced myself in him. He is my masterpiece. He has abilities divine. A being so supernatural. The new man. So that's what he said here. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created the work in Christ Jesus. Our work unto good works. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is why in Ephesians 1, he now starts to get you praying. That your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That you will see what God has done in you. That's the prayer. That's what you pray for believers. Because many believers are not living up to their potential. Why? Because the potential of the believer is the resurrected man, Jesus. But many are not living up to it. So if someone is struggling with malice, struggling with this, struggling with that, what kind of investment can you do in such a person? Oh Lord, I pray for this guy, verse 18, the eyes of his understanding is enlightened, that he may know the riches that is in the saints, verse 18. He will know what is in him. Because when he knows what is in him, he acts differently. Can we get a believing amen? Pray it long enough. Kenneth Hagin, one of our revered mentors, will say he prayed that scripture for years. He just kept praying it over himself and praying it. There's something he does. He prayed over his brother as well. Pray it over people. They are Christians, but they are not living up to the potential. Yeah. That their eyes of understanding may be enlightened. That they will know. Look at verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us that believe? What is the exceeding greatness? The word exceeding greatness. Exceeding is the word hupabalo. Hupabalo means an overthrow. Let me explain it. Imagine you wanted to fight an ant and you get an atomic bomb. Everybody say, ant that you are supposed to use insecticide for. Are you getting it? That's hupabalo, an overkill. Is too much, too plenty, more than enough. So you are praying that this man will see that which God has done in him that is an overkill, more than he will never need for his existence. Praise God. That's the word hupa. Balo is true. It's too much. So that's why we are saying that the new creation is God's masterpiece. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Church, amen. Yeah, because the sun and the moon and all those things, it will be rolled up. But the new man, he lives forever. God's masterpiece. Can we get a believing? Amen. All right, let's look at it. He says, what is the exceeding greatness? Greatness is the word mega. Too big. Where you get the word mega, mega church, mega chicken, mega this, mega that. It's big. Amen. Praise God. Mega house. Mega house is not one bedroom flat. Amen. Mega is big. We can't count the houses. That's the point. It is a lot. The room is plenty. I'm talking about what God has done in Christ for you. That's why it says it is in the saints. According to his working power, his dynamic power, dunamis power. That the Bible says in the whole of Greek, that verse 19 is the greatest concentration of power. The word there is dunamis, iskus, krata. All of those words are talking about exerted power, operational power, moving power, miraculous power. Dunamis is miraculous power. The point here is God has done a work in you. You are not actually, let me put it this way, normal. You are supernatural. Are you getting the point? You are supernatural. Now that you are supernatural, the supernaturalness is done by the Spirit. Now, you will now read the Word of God to get to understand this supernaturalness, how it is acted out. Amen? There are no stingy believers because the God that created them is not stingy. They are only ignorant and stubborn believers. So if you see anyone that is a believer and is not sacrificing and giving like God, is either is ignorant or is stubborn. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So let's look at 2 Corinthians. All I'm talking about so far is I'm talking about the Spirit. Where did you get the Spirit from? From God. Who is God? A lover who gives sacrificially. What then does he do? He brings man into the class of his own by giving them the Spirit. Now, this Spirit gives that man ability to do things that people in the world cannot do. But how will this man know who he is and what he can do? He will see it in the written word. When he sees it in the written word, he will now mix it with faith. Praise the Lord. Does that look like what I've been trying to say so far? Amen. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians. So, before now, we've called it the Spirit. Now, Paul will be talking, he will call it grace. Amen. Call it grace. Before now, we have said it is the Spirit, it is the Holy Ghost. Now, he will call it grace. Just so that we are clear. 2 Corinthians 13. I want to read verse 14. So when we say the Spirit, when we say grace, okay. Are you in verse 14? You know it. You know it. Well, let's get there. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. It says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is what? Are we not there? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. It is the communion of the Holy Spirit. I know you saw and. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean the love of God. So the grace, what you see called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is how God shows his love towards us. What does it really mean when when we get down to it, this thing called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this thing called the love of God, it tells you it is the communion, the fellowship, the Holy Spirit, meaning the proof that God loves you. The proof of the grace of God is that he gave you the Spirit. So now Paul will now start talking about this grace. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, we want to witness of the grace of God. Are you in verse 1? Church, are you in verse 1? Yes. We want to witness of the grace of God that was bestowed upon the churches of the Macedonia. Let me ask a question. Did God specially, trick question, but not tricky. Did God specially give Macedonia a grace? Or did Macedonia hear about the grace of God and they mixed it with faith? They heard about the grace of God and they mixed it with faith. Praise the Lord. Because that's how it works. So he says, we want to now witness. So what we now do is, we can now say, all of you are givers. Then we can now say, Brother Bola, look at him. He is a manifestation of that which you all are. Praise the Lord. So who did God give the grace to? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. The sweet fellowship of the Holy. How many people did God give the Holy Spirit to? All. He's now saying, but I want to give you an example of the grace of God that was in the church in Macedonia. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction. Are you in verse 2? Yes. We need to close. In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. The abundance of their joy. What was strange about the church in Macedonia? They were going through great trials. Church, are you here? Are you here? You know what? I really want to serve God, you know, but I'm going through. And while in this, in the cubicle that we are in, we can understand, we try to understand, but Paul tells us about the grace. Meaning these guys had nothing to laugh about, you know, and that's why we always try to point the believer to what God has done for him. Because if you point believers to things, in situations and circumstances where there is nothing to point the believer to, you've said the believer can be depressed. The Macedonian church, there was nothing, no breakthrough, no new grace, no something is coming, no miracle now, no miracle, no nothing. They were persecuted for the gospel. Nothing in the horizon. It's not in the next 4 days, something will happen. Nothing is going to happen. He would, you know, I'm poor. When a missionary says that you are poor, there's a problem. Missionary that people give money to now says you are poor. It means that it was deep poverty. Look at it. He says, and now, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. It means this thing called joy is not a function of your position or situation. When you make it a function of a position or situation, you are being earthly. There is nothing there. Ah, Sister Diola just bought a new car. We are happy. You know, well, that's happiness anyway. But when we talk about joy, we are just pointing to the resurrection. I'm set free. I'm born again. I'll be with Jesus forever. It doesn't matter what I'm actually facing here. You know, I'm here as a priest to serve God. And I'm content in that fact. Glory to God. The Bible says that the grace of God. Amen. I know I've never preached that anywhere. When someone says, write down, pastor. I've never preached it anywhere before. Why do people say that kind of thing? But that's the grace of God. Because people always say people need a motivation sometimes to serve God. Serve God and iwi. And this one in Macedonia, there's no iwi. That would be the first. Amen. It says, look at it. Great, I'm talking about great affliction. Great trials, abundance of their joy. So when they came to church, you did not see what they were going through on their face and they were not pretending. Amen? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He's the one dancing and celebrating God the most. You say, God must have done something for him. And he's like, no, he's just born again. He's born of God. They say that's the spirit, the grace of God. The grace of God. It's not on what, you know, because Christianity sometimes makes it look like it's anchored on what God does for you. So when believers go through a hard time, they don't know how to worship him because they were told the object of their worship is a God that must do for them. And if he doesn't do for them, there is trouble. The point is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is saying that we have the spirit. We have been delivered from so great a death. We have eternal life. We are now privileged to be servants of God on this earth. We can never die. We can never die. We have eternal life. On those grounds, it doesn't matter what I face. You know, the disciples went through a lot of stuff. They came out of prison one time, and the Bible says they counted it all joy to suffer for Jesus. They didn't call it a depression party. Oh my God. That Koboko, he paid me. That beating. Constable Steve, he used that. Oh my God, my head is still paining me. The Bible said they called a rejoicing party. They said, why are you rejoicing? It's a privilege to be beaten for the one who was beaten for me. That's Christianity. He calls it the grace of God. Sometimes today, if you see a believer overjoicing, go and ask him, what happened? No, they promoted me today. I'm not promoted. No, I'm not senior manager. There's nothing wrong with that. Just that by the time you are no longer senior manager, you are now Constable Steve, meaning that maybe you are no longer senior manager. It's okay. That the Bible, Paul will call it in Philippians, I've learned how to abase and abound. We cannot be knowing what's going on through your face. She's coming, no? Sister Funke. She's coming. It's a good day. It was a good week. Because why? Sister Funke said, Jesus is a mighty God. He's a mighty. To the left, to the left, to the right. Hallelujah! They say, today was a good, this week was good. Then another week, Sister Funke has come. She has come. Bless you, Sister Funke. Bless you. When everybody is rejoicing, she'll be looking with almost kind of disdain, like. Then, surely goodness and mercy follows. She's gone again. Why? Because of issues. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God, that's why Christianity makes you put Jesus, the Spirit, at the center of your life. It is your rejoicing. He says, there was nothing. There was actually, I'm not preaching against you having nothing. I am saying the believer's life is not a function of what he owns or does not own. The believer's life is a function of who died for him and who gave him life. He says, this is the grace of God. I'm showing you, these guys are abundant. Look at it. It says it there, abundance of joy. You know, joy already is intoxicating. He says, these people, you come around them happy, happy. Excited, sing glory, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus. But when he investigated their lives, they were going through a lot. He said, that is the grace of God. See the other one. He says, look at it. In verse 2, and their deep poverty abounded unto the what? Riches of liberality. You know when Paul would say they were poor? They were deeply poor. But he said he had not met givers like that before. He called it the grace of God. So giving is not a function of if you have or you don't have. Giving in our own kingdom is what the Spirit has done in you. Praise God. Because that Spirit compels you to be other people-minded. Meaning the Macedonian church is the kind of church you come to. They give you honorarium. You say, why are you honoring me? I'm the one that is to honor you. You don't have anything now. You don't have drums. You don't have speaker. You are clapping with all the people. And everybody is now gathering. No, he said, no. That's deep poverty. But he said, I've never seen such givers. He calls it the grace of God. It's what the Spirit prompts to do. And I'm saying that you have received that Spirit. Can we get a believing amen? Say, I'm a believer. Say, I'm a believer. He says, the grace of God does a work in me. What is that grace of God? The Spirit of God. That Spirit of God raised Christ from the dead. That Spirit lives in me. That Spirit gives me the ability to live like God today on the earth, in that I am able to, where we started off from, bless them that persecute me. I'm able to forgive those who do me wrong and pray for them. I am able to give sacrificially even to others. This is what I saw in God. Then when I hear, be ye perfect as the Father is, I have been given the Spirit to make it come to pass. And what am I to do? I am to yield to that Spirit. I am to yield to that Spirit to say that Spirit works in me. Can I get a believing amen? Listen, it will be by faith until it becomes a normal lifestyle. That ability is that same ability, right? That we see people going through the toughest, but you cannot steal their joy. You can't steal it. No, you can't steal their joy. They are still ever excited because the focus of the excitement is Christ in me. Glory. Christ in me, glory. It's not really about what happens around. And I'm saying this not because things don't happen for us. Can we get a believing amen? I am saying that at the foundation of it, the believer knows that the Spirit of God in him is his rejoicing. Where would we have been if not for the Holy Spirit? Dead in sin. No resurrection. The Bible says no hope in this world. Paul will say, if Christ did not come out of the grave, we are of most men miserable. And then he says, glory to God, he's come out of the grave. That is the source of our joy. It's the source of our joy. So the point is, while things go good, even when things don't go good, we don't lose our joy. It's the teaching and the doctrine of the grace of God. That spirit that was shared abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, that love in your heart by the Holy Ghost, gives you that, it is within you to pick up joy, even when things are not good. It will be by faith. What does faith mean? Your feelings may not feel it, but you act it out because it is so. Can we get a believing amen? You won't feel it because people in this world, if you want to get them, talk to them at the level of their feelings. They can operate it. We are saying what we are talking to you about, that your life is in your spirit. It's not in your flesh. You will say, I believe God's word. I have received the Spirit. There is joy here. There is something to rejoice about. There is something to rejoice about. There is something to rejoice. With joy, I draw waters out of the well of salvation. They said, with all of these things going on in your life physically, yeah. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. The grace of God. He says, with all of these things, you don't seem to be able to afford anything. And you are saying, take. You are saying for the gospel, take. They say, no, we should be giving to you. You say, no. It's something within me. God has done something in me. It's called the grace of God, the Spirit of God. I'm yielding to that grace. I'm yielding to it. So believers are men that yield to the Spirit. They are not men that go by how they feel. They are men by go by the Spirit. We are men of the Spirit. Rise upon your feet today. Rise upon your feet today. We are men. He calls it the riches of liberality. The aim of this teaching today is to point you to the Holy Spirit, the one that saved you. You might have been living in the energy of the flesh. For an energy of the flesh, that is why your mood sometimes is topsy-turvy. That is why you are up and down like a yo-yo. I want you to lift up your hands where you are and just acknowledge, just be conscious again. Because I want you to take that consciousness. Oh, Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Come on, wherever it is that you are. Thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells in me. This that we call Christianity is Christ in me. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it's Christ that lives in me. The life I live now, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to speak to the Lord right now. Thank you for the Spirit within. For the Spirit within has done something in me. The Spirit in me has given me capacity. I am different from men in the world. I am different. I have a higher life I can yield to. A life of joy. A life of forgiveness. A life is there. It's there. Praise God. Come on. I want you to speak to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the glory. We give you the glory. Oh, that we are more conscious of that Spirit. So great. So mighty Spirit. That same Spirit that was raised from that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me today, helping me to live my walk, to walk the walk, to walk the walk. It doesn't matter what comes my way, there is joy within this boy. Oh, it doesn't matter what comes my way, the giver in me never dies. It doesn't matter what comes my way, the forgiver in me is here. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I'm able to bless those who persecute me. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I am able. I'm able to love, to bless. I'm able by the Spirit. Father, we give you praise. We give you the glory. Blessed be your name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that these words that they've heard today will not just end in this service. It will be a consciousness that they take home. Take everywhere that they go. Because the Spirit within man causes man to be supernatural. They'll be conscious of this spirit. Even as they go out, in all that they do, they'll realize that they are men of the spirit, with capacities of the spirit, with gifts of the spirit, with operations of the spirit. Oh, Father, we thank you for this grace that we have. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the saints say, the saints say, God bless you richly. Go hug somebody, greet them. Church is closed. God bless you.